Thanks for joining us for another value-packed Tenant Cloud podcast. My name is Chris Pflugi, and I am your host in today's Tenant Cloud podcast. Today, I wanted to cover a few things to help property managers and landlords manage their renovations and maintenance of their rental properties a little bit more efficiently. And that includes things like finding quality contractors, keeping quality contractors around, making sure that the job is done right the first time, making sure that nothing is missed, and help you avoid a lot of the headaches that a lot of property managers and landlords face early on, especially if you've only done a few or haven't done any renovations at all at your rental properties. I have personally handled hundreds of renovations throughout Central Texas and have a lot of experience with dealing with contractors and renovations and permitting processes and the whole nine yards. And so I just wanted to touch a little bit on some of the basics in today's podcast. Not going to take too long, probably about 10 to 15 minutes, but wanted to put this information out there to hopefully help some of you who may be thinking about it or have some coming up in the near future or have had bad experiences with doing it in the past and don't want to have to deal with that in the future. So without further ado, I'll jump right in here. The number one most difficult thing that I had to face early on was finding quality contractors. And quality is a broad term, but it could mean many things. Anytime you've done a renovation, there's a lot of things that make a contractor a quality contractor. Things like timeliness, showing up on the day that the job is supposed to start, not forgetting that it's supposed to start that day and not a week later, or even remembering that they had signed on to a renovation with you at all, or even just someone who shows up and is ready to rock and roll on that day. They know what's going on. They know it's expected of them, and they're ready to roll when they're supposed to be ready to roll. But then there's a lot of other things like paying attention to detail throughout the renovation project, making sure that they're handling the project according to the specs that were agreed to from day one, all the way through the completion of the project and understanding the dates that are expected to have certain things completed. And on those dates, those are the dates that the contractor gets paid for the completion of work that's already been done, and a whole lot of other things. And especially if it's a multifamily, or if you have more than one unit, maybe if it's a duplex or triplex or fourplex, whatever it is, that the contractors are also courteous to your other tenants. If you have tenants in nearby units, being professional, and a lot of other things that go into it. And so one of the first ways that you can really start to find quality contractors is to just simply ask friends, family, and coworkers for great contractors and other investors in your area or other landlords in your area. And so this helps to have a great network locally of other landlords that you are familiar with, acquainted with, or even great friends with, that you can share contractors' information for times that they've done a great job for you, and you can let somebody else know that, hey, yeah, this person does a great job with plumbing work or electric work, or they're a great carpenter or whatever, and vice versa. The other way is not just getting those references from friends, family, or coworkers, but then getting references from the contractor to make sure that the they have experience in doing the project type that you are wanting to do. And you can ask for a portfolio of their prior work so that you can get a better understanding of jobs that they have done, and not just references from those jobs, but also pictures, maybe videos, maybe even sample contracts that they've done in the past, things of that nature. The second way that you can find contractors is actually kind of a little unique. But you can just go straight to box stores. Now, if you've ever gone to a box store, especially earlier in the day, a lot of times that is when contractors are out getting supplies, because they typically go out first thing in the morning if they don't have supplies for a job or if it's a new job that they're starting. And depending on the contract, if they're the ones who are supposed to be responsible for picking up the supplies for that job, they'll be the ones there at the big box stores picking up those supplies. And even if not, just talking with people at the big box stores when you're there will oftentimes open the door for getting referrals to great contractors, because A lot of times, a lot of the people in the big contractor stores, especially if it's in like the lumber section, the concrete sections, things like that, the metalworking sections, the plumbing sections, all of those areas, and not really the DIY home sections, but like the areas where you can get more bulk supplies at discounted rates, or even if you hang around the contractor checkout line, that's where, like at Home Depot, they have that the contractor checkout line, and you pretty much know for sure that pretty much everybody in that line has something to do with a contractor. So those are great ways to get connected with contractors if you don't have any contractor contacts in your area yet. Of course, you have your typical ones like Angie's List, Home Advisor, Facebook Marketplace. A lot of contractors will put ads on there, although I believe Facebook has cracked down on that quite a bit lately because they've partnered, I think, with some network like Home Advisor themselves. And then, of course, Craigslist. A lot of contractors, I think Craigslist charges like $1 or $2 per listing now for contractors. And so a lot of them do that. It's affordable for them. It stays up for like a week or something like that. And so you can find contractors that way. And again, the big box stores, you can go and check out there and just hang around and talk to people. But after you've found the contractor and you've done as much of that early on vetting as possible, the next step in the process is you might even want to go out to lunch with that person and just chat with them one-on-one, because once people, you've developed that rapport with somebody, they tend to drop their guard and start to talk to you. And depending on the type of job that it is that you need done, and you really want to make sure that it's being done right, they may open their mouths and say things that help you make a decision. You may be surprised what you hear sometimes coming from the mouth of a contractor. And so if it's important to you that the character of the individual that you work with also has a great character, then taking somebody out to lunch is typically a great way to kind of break down those walls and really get to know the person on a more personal level, to the point where it may help you make a decision, and that could be good or it could be bad. And so talking with them about maybe their family, their prior job history, where they got started, all of that good stuff, where they're from, what caused them to move to the area, all of those things can really help you get to know that person on a much better level so that you're more comfortable hiring them to work on your property. And that's good for pretty much, I would say that's a good thing to do with any type of property. I mean, unless it's just a couple $100 job and it's pretty easy to know that, yeah, they've done this. But if you're talking about $5,000-$10,000 on a renovation or something, then you really want to make sure that you're vetting the contractors early on. Which brings me to my next point, which is after you have found a contractor, you don't want to just find one contractor. Now, typically, whenever you're doing a renovation that's going to be over $1,000, some people have a lower threshold. Sometimes it's $500. Depends on the property and the job being done typically. But my threshold for my properties, because we did a lot of work under $1,000, but anytime it was over $1,000, we always got three parties involved in the process. And so we would get three different quotes every single time. I cannot stress how important it is to get three quotes every single time. Even if the quote that comes back to you sounds good, you've worked with the contractor before, always get three quotes in advance. And it's also always good to just let the contractors know that, hey, I'm going to be getting three quotes on this job. Your quote is one of three. Because even if you've done work with a contractor time and time again, and they've done a good job for you, you always want to make sure that they are staying on their best behavior, if that makes any sense. You want to make sure that they're not trying to increase their rates because they've gotten comfortable with you. They know that you're going to hire them for the job. You want to make sure that you're keeping them honest. And even if they're a great individual, sometimes you just need to make sure that you're letting them know in advance, hey, I know you've done work for me before, but you know this is how I operate. And most contractors are perfectly fine with that. And if a contractor isn't fine with that, then that's probably not somebody you should be working with to begin with. So again, 3 estimates for every single job. Set your threshold, whatever it is, even if it's 250 or 500, 750, 1000, 1500, whatever your threshold is, anything that's ever done over that amount, even if it's not just like a renovation, even if it's just a repair, always get 3 estimates. That is always the best way to operate because it gives you a better understanding of what the going rate for that particular job, that particular work is in your marketplace. And you can also get a better sense of if things are trending upwards or things are trending downwards based on the numbers that you're getting back. So definitely make sure that you are getting 3 estimates. Once you have gotten 3 estimates and you've selected the contractor that you're going to have complete the job, then the next step is making sure that you have everything in writing. In today's world, it is unfortunate, but no longer are things a verbal and a handshake. Everything needs to be in writing. I do not care how well you know the individual. I don't care if you've been friends for 20 years. It does not matter. Everything needs to be put in writing. Because if for nothing else, everybody needs to know what is being expected of them and they need to be able to reference back to that document to say, oh yeah, okay, we did talk about that and that's what was supposed to be done in this job. Or yeah, it was supposed to be done by February 15th and now it's February 29th and now I'm costing you money. Things like that. So you want to make sure that you have everything in writing, and that's everything from the specs of the job all the way down to the phases of the job, if there is such a thing for what you're needing done, to where certain things need to be done by certain dates, and that's when the contractor can expect payment on those things and also set the dates that those payments will be issued out given that phase of work has been completed. The other thing you have to agree upon in writing is if there is a deposit required to start the job or not. A lot of smaller contractors don't have the cash flow to be able to pay upfront for materials for a job or for any labor for starting the job. And so a lot of them will require an initial down payment. However, I typically never pay more than 25% as a down payment on any job. And the larger the amount is for the job, if it's a $50,000 job, then I'm not even paying $10,000 to start the job. I'm paying for the initial material for the job to get started. Usually anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 for material and to get them started. Or I pay for the material myself and have the material at the job site, and I just pay them as they complete the project, as they go for the labor portion of things. So again, these things need to be in writing, and you need to agree to them early on in the process. And both parties need to sign, needs to be dated, the whole nine yards. Once the job has actually started, that is when the fun begins, because a lot of people think that, okay, well, signed the job, got the contractor, I vetted them, they're good, we signed this agreement, everything's in writing, all the dates are in place, we're good to go, I'm gonna go hang out at the pool, or I'm gonna go start looking at other properties. And that just simply cannot happen because, again, it doesn't matter how long you've known the contractor for. Contractors are often very busy. Contractors can try to cut corners. Contractors like to save money and make more money, just like anybody. And it's important that you keep the contractor honest and keep them on task and make sure that what they promised they were going to do is actually getting done. And I'm not talking about micromanaging because nobody likes that. But checking in, staying in constant communication with the contractor, even if it's just once a day, sending them a text, giving them a call, a couple times a week, popping in at the job just to make sure that things are progressing as expected, making sure that they don't need anything that wasn't discussed at some point in the process, making sure that there wasn't some material that they didn't have that they needed and they haven't communicated it to you yet and they're going to tell you at the last second and you're going to be rushing to the store to get it, or they're going to be rushing to the store and then only to find out it's not in stock, or they're nearing the end of the job and you need the appliances and they're ahead of schedule, but they didn't tell you that and you didn't know it because you didn't stop by the property to check it out. And now you need a stove and a fridge and a dishwasher. And like last year, they were all out of stock for months on end because of delays due to COVID. You don't want any of those experiences, and all that stuff can and will happen if you are not paying attention to the process of the project or the renovation that you are working on. And I guarantee it, it's, I forget the name of the law, but basically if something can go wrong when it comes to a renovation or even just a routine maintenance project or a minor job, it will go wrong. If it can go wrong, it will go wrong. And so it's important that you are staying ahead of it and getting ahead of it and make sure that you are involved in the process and making sure that things are being done as you expect. Because at the end of the day, it's your property. You're the one who has to deal with any fallout from any mistakes or errors or anything else. The contractor, they're not connected to that property. You have an agreement and that's it. And yeah, there might be, if something goes majorly wrong, there might be some type of litigation. You might get your money back. You might recover damages. You might not. And so it's important, and nobody wants to deal with that anyway. And so it's important that you are involved in the process. So constant communication, at least once a day, check in with the contractor. Say, hey, just want to make sure you don't need anything. I'm heading out for the day. If so, let me know. How's it going? Is everything according to plan? That type of stuff. Just a quick check-in. Done. Visit the property once or twice a week at least, or have somebody you trust visit the property who's familiar with the job and knows what should be going on that day or should have already been done at that point. If things are not done, if you go to the property and things are not going according to plan, then you need to start asking questions and figure out what the holdup is and make sure that things get back on track early. Because again, if you let it go for weeks, it's hard to catch up on weeks of work that should have already been done, as opposed to if you caught it a couple days later and were like, okay, we're off track here. What's going on? Let's figure this out. So again, be involved in the process and do not prepay for any work that isn't completed or is not written down in the contract. Again, doesn't matter how long you've known the person. You need to make sure that you are only paying according to the agreement of the contract. Everybody will come up with a sob story at some point, but you have to treat it like a business, and the work needs to be done that's been agreed upon in order for the payment to be paid out. You want to make sure that things like materials and paint colors are what you selected. You want to make sure that the paint colors, if you didn't pick them up, or even if you did, you want to take the paint and do a color swatch on an actual wall or a piece of wood or something to make sure that the paint color is not going to be a surprise. Because if the contractor, again, paints an entire room or entire house with a color, only to find out when you get there and see it drying on the walls or already dried, it's the wrong color, that is a lot harder to fix and a lot more expensive for you to fix than if you had just taken it out of the bucket, used a paintbrush, and checked the paint color to make sure that it dried the way that you expected it to dry on whatever material you're going to be putting it on. So things like that are very important. Fixtures. If the contractor is responsible for picking up fixtures, you want to make sure that they're the ones that you agreed upon. You want to make sure that you get there and it's not copper if you wanted stainless or vice versa. All these things are a lot harder to fix down the road if you don't check in and make sure that they're being done the way that they were agreed upon. And then the final thing is, when the job is complete, you want to be able to do a follow-up walkthrough, a final walkthrough with the contractor. And any contractor who is worth their salt is always going to be ready for that day to do a final walkthrough. You should have a checklist. They should have already gone through with a checklist of their own according to the agreement that they had with you for what was supposed to be done, the scope of work. And you should both walk through the job and make sure that everything that was agreed upon was done and that it was done correctly so that you can issue them a payment. A couple other points when it comes to contractors is, it's often easier to get better rates with contractors if you have a regular backlog of projects in the region, because it's volume. So if you can get a contractor more work, then they're typically more apt to give you lower rates if they know that they are going to be working with you for an extended period of time. It also helps with performance because they know that if they screw up on this job, they're going to lose out on those other 10 jobs that you've got lined up for the rest of the year or will have lined up. So it's important that if you do have a region where you have a lot of projects that are coming into the pipeline, that is something that you have made clear to the contractor that, hey, I'd like to continue using you. We just need to make sure that we're keeping our prices in order and that the jobs are being well done. And I'd love to continue this relationship with you down the road. And if you're able to do that, you can oftentimes develop a better relationship with the contractor, get better results, better prices, the whole nine yards. And once you have found a great contractor, you do not want to lose a great contractor. Great contractors are hard enough to come by. The last thing you want to do is lose a high quality contractor. And so the number one way that you can keep a high quality contractor around, even if you yourself are a difficult person to deal with, the one way that you will keep the contractor around and they'll continue dealing with you even if you are a difficult person is if you're paying on time. Paying on time. Cannot stress that enough. Paying on time. In the real estate industry, it is real estate people are notorious for not paying on time. They'll wait until, if it's a net 30 invoice, they will wait until day 30 to issue that check, when the contractor might have invoiced you 30 days earlier expecting that payment. The quicker you pay the contractor, if they've done everything that they've agreed to with you and everything's been signed off on, pay them on time. If they invoice you a net 30, don't wait until the 30th day to pay them that invoice. Pay them the next day if you can. Because the quicker you pay your contractors, the more loyal they are. The old saying, fast pay makes for good friends, isn't just an old saying. It is very, 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 very true. I have kept contractors around for years when they've left other people, other investors, other real estate professionals, because I consistently made sure that they were paid on time. If they ever came to me with an invoice that they had questions about that they had never received payment or thought they hadn't received payment for, I figured it out within 24 to 48 hours and let them know if it was an invoice that was missed or if they had been paid, what date it was paid, the invoice number, all of the information that could be provided to them so they could track it down in their accounts. So again, make sure that your contractors are paid on time, and they will stick around for a very long time, even if you are a difficult person to work with. So again, those are my top few tips for how to find contractors, how to vet contractors, how to set up agreements with contractors, the best practices for moving forward with a project with a contractor, as well as the follow-through and the final walkthroughs of a project that you've agreed to with a contractor, all the way through the payment to the contractor, and making sure that you're keeping those great contractors around. So I hope that you've learned a little bit of information from this podcast. I hope you have found value in the information. If you have, please feel free to comment or rate us on any of the podcast websites that you're listening to. Also, share it with any friends, family members, your social media networks, if you think that other people could find value out of this podcast. We definitely appreciate that. And we thank you for spending the time with us today and look forward to talking with you next time.